Hello, this is Math for Knitters, and I'm your host, Lara. This is the eighth show, and I'm very, very excited today because this week I got to interview a knitter who I deeply respect and admire. Her name is Meg, and her mother, Elizabeth Zimmerman, is the author who first turned me on to the idea that I could take control of my own knitting, that I didn't have to follow a pattern, and that I could still get garments that were something that you would like to wear. So I was very excited to get to talk to Meg. My recording software did not perform exactly as we planned, so there are a few spots in the interview where it's obvious that Meg she's saying the word, but it wasn't recorded. So for instance, her mother's name, Elizabeth Zimmerman, is not actually in the interview, even though she said it. I've tried to edit it to make it as clear as possible. If anybody has any major questions about the meaning of a certain segment, do please feel free to leave a comment on the blog or email me, Lara Neal, LaraNeel, at mac.com, and I will let you know the answer and also post it on the website, which is www.math4knitters, that's the number 4, .blogspot, that's blogspot.com. So and there's some new stuff on the site. As promised, I do have actual copies of sections of my notebook from when I was designing the slippers, so you can see my thought processes there. Also, the finished product of the slippers, which I think seriously resemble Wookiees, but I think they're nice and I hope my dad likes them. Let's see, not a lot of other news this week. I'm just so excited. And this is my first interview, but it won't be the last. I actually have another one lined up very quickly here. And I hope I've ironed out more of the technical bugs. I do want to thank Meg for putting up with the difficulties that we had and being brave enough to be my first interview. And thank you to Lisa at Schoolhouse Press, who suggested that Meg should come on the show and talk about EPS, which means Elizabeth's Percentage System, which is a series of mathematical percentages that you can use to design your own sweater. Meg specifically talks about a traditional Scandinavian yoke style sweater and also about a drop shoulder sweater in the interview. In, I believe it's Knitting Workshop, there are actually 7 seamless shoulder shapings in that book by Elizabeth Zimmerman. So if you're interested in trying a whole bunch of different ways of making a sweater that are all seamless, then I highly suggest you get your hands on that book. My blue sweater, which featured in the waist shaping episode, is actually one of those sweaters. It's the fake set-in sleeve. That entire sweater has not a single seam in it, and it's extremely comfortable and I love it, and I'm so happy that I made it. But here's the interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
Laura?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you learn to knit?
My ma taught all of us to knit when we were kids. I'm the youngest of 3 children. And I learned to knit probably little scarves and stuff at about 6, actual wearable items that I would give to people. And then I didn't knit very much. And then I guess it was high school, knitting sweaters for boyfriends. that kind of got me back into it again. And I haven't really stopped. Actually, I only knitted one sweater for an actual boyfriend, and we were still going together by the time I finished the sweater in Milwaukee. That's where I grew up, having moved there from Pennsylvania, born in New York. My knitting, and I swapped paintings for sweaters. That was really the most satisfying knitting during high school.
Wow, that sounds like so much fun.
You keep money out of the transaction. Everyone is satisfied. You know, as soon as someone starts paying, then someone usually has a complaint. But if you swap, and I've swapped for paintings, I knew a lot of potters when we moved to upstate New York, and they're always cold because they're always out in their potting shed. And I even bartered with a mechanic who used to fix our Volkswagen. So I made him a sweater in exchange for his,
Well, just in case people haven't heard about your mother, which I doubt, but could you tell us who she is?
England, and went to art school in Germany. First went to school in Lausanne, Switzerland, and then got accepted into the Academy in Munich, which is very difficult to get into. They, you know, traveled around Europe and their paths crossed for about 6 or 7 years until Hitler came along and my father immigrated to the United States in just about the end of the 30s, I guess. And then lived in New York City, and that's where the three of us were born. Yes, well, of course, she knitted all her life. She often said that European children learn to knit. You automatically knit if you're a female in her era. Living in Europe, just knitting is something you automatically do. You don't think about it. She always knitted all her life, and when she went to school in Munich, she used to actually knit sweaters for sale in a local shop. And so then when she started having kids in the United States, naturally she knitted for them. She didn't think to sell designs, I think, at the time, and her sweaters were always admired by others, and someone suggested that she submit them to a magazine, and with great trepidation, she did so, asked her to write a quite lengthy accompanying article, and it was a big double-page spread, and they didn't edit her text very severely, so it sounded like her, and she was a very charming woman, and she wrote exactly the way she was, phoniness or pretense about her. So that was the beginning, was that Woman's Day spread in 1955, and then she got bolder, and then it was one of the Bernat magazine to knit rather than Pearl. So all her sweaters were circular and seamless. And editors then flat pieces to be sewn together, knitted back and forth. And it upset her, college issue, I think it was. And they had actually painted in a seam line. And she said that was it. She was so frustrated and infuriated by that that she said, I'm going to write my own instruction. And it was designed for a Fair Isle yoke sweater, and she started sending it out. The British Vogue office had sent her a series of instructions for an Aran sweater. Even in 1957, Aran sweaters were totally, completely from these written instructions with no photograph, no drawing, and back and forth. It was flat knitting, and she didn't know anything about left and right twist and sent it in, and it was the very first Aran sweater ever published in the United States in the American version of Vogue knitting. And that was 1957. And instead of payment, she got a buy Aran sweaters are made of. She had found a little mill in Minnesota. And that was the beginning of the mail order business. Then people started writing for that wool. And then she began to import some Shetland from the Shetland Islands to go with her newsletter. She was called Elizabeth Zimmerman Limited. That was the name of her company when she was in Milwaukee, and sold more and more designs and started publishing her own patterns. Barbara Walker's editor, Eleanor Parker at Scribner's, she had written to Barbara wrote back, and they began a friendship which lasted until my mother died. They were great knitting buddies. And my ma submitted her book, and then Scribner's also published Knitter's Almanac, but let it go out of print fairly quickly, and Dover picked it up. So we decided to do it ourselves, and that's how Schoolhouse Press started. My parents lived in a schoolhouse in central Wisconsin, and my husband and I had about half an hour away from my parents, so Schoolhouse Press was the natural name for our little publishing company.
Wonderful. So what is EPS?
EPS stands for Elizabeth's Percentage System. My husband came up with that. And it is a system based on the knowledge of your gauge, which you must know exactly what that gauge is. Gauge times that circumference. If, let's say the sweater is 40 inches around, around the chest, and you're getting 5 stitches to the number. And all the other measurements of the garment are a percentage of that key number of the body circumference, and increase above the ribbing or increase gradually at the side seams if you want the body tapered, and you be between 20 and 25% of the key number at the cuff, and then you start the cuff, sleeve, tapered sleeve, or you can increase suddenly all at once for a blouse sleeve. And by the time you reach the top of the sleeve, you should have approximately 35%, 35 to 40% loose. You know, nothing is carved in stone. If you're knitting a big oversized garment, you probably wouldn't want 25% for the cuff. Probably 20 is closer to what you'd want. Just a guideline, really. And then the depth of the yoke turns out to be approximately half the width of the body. And the neck circumference is usually about 40% of, but those percentages really do work as wonderful guides. And then, of course, you tweak within that to make the garment fit exactly the person for whom you are knitting. Shoulder sweater is the same, 100% for the body, 20 to 25% for the cuff, but then the sleeve is increased to about 50% if you're making a traditional, typical Norwegian drop shoulder sweater.
Have the numbers evolved over the years at all?
Well, yes, I've altered the yoke sweaters considerably. Elizabeth's original percentage was to increase the sleeve to 33%, and this was back in the 60s and 70s when slim-fitting sweatified the percentage system just a little bit to for a larger upper arm. And and I forgot another critical threads at the underarms of both the body and the sleeve. And that's the part that makes this garment completely seamless, is that when you finish, knit it up to the neck, weave the underarm stitches invisibly in Kitchener stitch. And that's what makes this garment completely seamless. Some of the Icelandic patterns will tell you to cast off. Bad idea for several reasons. First of all, a cast off edge is very tight and unyielding, and the underarm is where you really want great flexibility. And doesn't look very nice either. So for all those reasons, weaving the raw underarm stitches is a wonderful solution. Yeah, well, you've got a flail, you know?
Yeah, I think most people don't think necessarily that they need that flexibility in the underarms until maybe they try it.
Yeah, you've got to be able to flail around. And, well, that's what gussets are for.
Are there any publications that deal with EPS more exclusively, or would you just point people to things like the Almanac or the Workshop?
EPS specifically, if you read Knitting Without Tears and there's Almanac, you can kind of see her groping towards this. I think it was her art school's frame relationship of body parts to the whole, you know, like the cuff and the depth of the yoke and the neck circumference and all that. As I say, you can see her groping towards it, and her first percentage system is specified. And then in Knitting Around, it's even in greater detail. And then we did it again in Opinionated Knitter. That's her most recent, her fifth and perhaps final. And all have been knitted recently by, I mean, they're rather timeless and classic. They've been knitted by people in recent years, and they still look contemporary. And yes, I stuck my 2 cents worth in.
Do you have any advice for new knitters or knitters who want to start thinking more about their knitting rather than being blind sheep, as your mother would say?
Yes. Well, actually, I think the most important thing to learn about knitting will never lie to you. And in patterns and books are always subject to error. If you can sit on the needle and to realize that the right-hand side of the stitch is in the front of the needle, and not, it doesn't have to be, but for a normal movement of the stitches, and see what's going on as you hook the working wool through that stitch and onto the right-hand needle, or the other way, fine, but I think it's important to learn the most common way of knitting just for ease of learning new and different techniques. And that's the second thing I would say, that the more techniques you can accumulate, because when you dream up a new pattern, usually the stopping point is because there's something within the pattern that you're unable to figure out how to execute in within knitting. So the more you have from a designing point of view, yeah, learn to read your knitting and accumulate as many techniques as you possibly can and just keep on knitting. That's the best thing, is to knit every day.
Wow. Thanks again to Meg. I really appreciate her coming on this show. Thank you to you as well, my listeners. I hope you enjoyed it. Upcoming show ideas. I'm working on some discussion about ribbing and how to contain ribbing and how to make it work the way that you want. And also, I think I'll have more interviews. Also, I rely upon you guys with your questions and comments to give me ideas, because frankly, I am really close to the end of my list of things that I could just think of. When I was developing this show, I came up with 10 ideas. And so after 10, I'm really relying on you to help me out. Please, please, please visit the show's site and leave a comment. Let me know what you want to hear. And I look forward to hearing from you. See you next week. Bye.